Okay, so we're going to talk this morning about the Minhag to eat dairy on Shavuos, but we're going to talk about it specifically in light of the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov, Simchas Yantiv, in light of what exactly Simchas Yantiv is, and how that's going to impact our practice or custom of eating dairy on Shavuos. So before we even begin talking, out of curiosity, and I think it'll help us going forward, I'm curious to hear what people's practices are. Do you eat dairy or not, or how you do it? So if anybody wants to volunteer.
We have at least two meat-free people here who are meat-free all the time.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah?
We don't eat any dairy at all. We haven't eaten dairy for 3 years.
You haven't eaten dairy?
No dairy.
Okay. So you eat meat? That's on
you. No meat. We're vegetarian.
Okay.
We're not vegans. We eat fish and eggs. No dairy at all.
No dairy. Okay.
And no butter.
Okay.
We have fleishiks for both meals.
Fleishiks for both meals.
I make kiddush though in the morning. We have
okay.
So I have this yom yotze.
Okay. Good. We'll see. We'll see early
kiddush though, not before. You know, not right before.
We'll see. We'll see the sources on that. Okay. Yeah. So that's and what?
What do we do?
Well, we usually have one fleishik meal, although he doesn't eat fleishik. And then we have a dairy.
Do one and one. Okay, good. Okay, good. So we'll see some of these options as we go through the sources. For the first, probably at least half of the shiur, we're going to talk about the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov, the mitzvah of rejoicing on the holidays. So the Torah tells us in Dvarim, the end of Parsha, right, the very end, in Perek Tet Zayin, in Source 1, Shiva Shavuot Tispor Lach, you should count 7 weeks. This is talking about Shavuos. From the time that you take the sickle to cut the first crop, which is on the second day of Pesach, to bring the korban on the second day of Pesach, count 7 weeks. And ve'asita chag shavuot la'Hashem Elokecha misat nidvat yadcha shititen kashiv erechecha Hashem Elokecha. Then you should make a holiday, a chag shavuot, from the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you in this time period, you should make a holiday at the end on Shavuot. And in Yud Aleph, we have this Samach Talifnei Hashem Elokecha. So we're going to have Simcha a few times. You should rejoice before Hashem your God. Atau vincho vitecha v'avdecha v'amatecha v'halivi Hashem b'sharecha. You, your family, your servants, maidservants, everybody basically, gera, yatum, v'almana, converts, and widows, and orphans, everybody, you have to have the simcha. In the place that God chooses in Yerushalayim. And that's for Shavuos. For Sukkot, we have 2 times we have Simcha. Chag HaSukkot HaSelecha Shivat Yamim Be'aspecha Migarncha Migvecha. So you should make a Sukkot holiday. And the next pasuk, V'samachta B'chagecha. Again, we have a Samachta B'chagecha. And at the very end of the third pasuk, we have V'hayita Ach Sameach. So the Torah tells us multiple times that we need to have Simcha on Yantiv. So now, what does this mean? What does Simcha on Yantiv mean? And then there's a lot more to say about Simcha, especially nowadays without a Beis HaMikdash. But what does Simcha on Yantiv mean? So we'll come back to Source 2 in a second, but if we take a look at the Rambam, in Hilchot Chagiga, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, in Source 3, the Rambam tells us, Shalosh Mitzvot, Mitzvot asay nitzav Yisrael b'chol regel mishalosh regalim. There are 3 mitzvot asay, 3 commandments that everybody has to do on each. We'll see who has to do them in a second. Sorry, there's 3 commandments to do on the shalosh regalim. Okay, what are they? Elu hein harriya. The first one is to bring a korban ola. The Rambam is gonna elaborate on each of these. Sorry, yeah, we'll see this in a second. The first one is the Re'iyah Shenemar Yeira Ekol Zechorcha. The Torah says that we should appear before Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, so that's the Re'iyah. V'chagiga Shenemar Tachog L'Hashem Elokecha. We should bring a Korban Chagiga, because the Torah says Tachog, Chog Chag Chagiga. And the third one is V'hasimcha Shenemar V'samachta B'chagecha. You should have Simcha. So now the Rambam explains what all these are. Hara'iyah ha'amura b'Torah hi shenir'eh panav v'azara b'yom tov harishon shel chag v'yavi imo korban ola bein min ha'ov bein min ha'behema. So the ra'iyah, the first mitzvah on shalosh regalim, there's 3 mitzvot. The first mitzvah is the korban ola. It's called an olat ra'iyah. And that is when you appear in the Beis HaMikdash for Ola LaRega. When we go to the Beis HaMikdash on the Shalosh Regalim, we have to bring a Korban Ola that's called an Ola Re'iyah. It could be a bird, it could be an animal. And if somebody, Umisha Balazara Biyom HaRishon Velo Hevi Ola, Lo Dayo Shalo Asa Mitzvah Aseh, thank you, Ela Over Alota, so she never Lo Yera Ufanai Rekam. If a person goes to the Beis HaMikdash, and this is really the first day of Yontif, I think. If you didn't do it on the first day, then you can do it the rest of Yontif. Right. But if you go on the first day and you don't bring this Ola, not only did you not fulfill a mitzvah aseh, you didn't fulfill a positive commandment, you also violated a lo taseh, because the Torah says, lo yira'u fanai rekam, you should not appear empty-handed. You can't go without bringing this Ola Re'iyah. So the first korban is an Ola Re'iyah. This is, we'll see, I mean, obviously we're going to be focusing on the simcha component, so these are just background information, extra information. The first thing is to bring this Ola Re'iyah. And if you, also the Rambam says, if you don't bring it, if you don't bring this Ola Re'iyah, you don't get lashes, because this is a separate rule, that you can't get lashes there was no action involved. I actually spoke a few weeks ago on Friday night for the short Dvar Halacha, or Dvar Torah in Shul, about, I think the Sefer Chinuch says, if Lifnei Yiver Lo Titein Michshol, if somebody, there was a whole thing there about whether what action was involved. Basically, the Minchat Chinuch says that it doesn't actually include putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. That it's only about giving bad advice, and one of his proofs for that is that the Sefer HaChinuch says that it's a lav she'en bo ma'ase. It's a lifnei iver lo titei mishal, don't put a stumbling block, there's no action involved. So he says if it included putting a rock in front of somebody on the road, then there's clearly that's enough of an action. It must be that it's about giving bad advice, and words is not sufficient enough of an action to call that a ma'ase. So that's why if somebody violates lifnei iver lo titei michshol by giving bad business advice, they wouldn't get lashes, because it's a lav she'ein bo ma'ase. You need to have some type of sufficient action to get lashes. So if somebody just shows up in the Beis HaMikdash without bringing a korban, there's not a sufficient action involved, so they violate a lo taseh, but they don't get the lashes.
The Bernie Madoff wouldn't be. He'd get off a little bit.
For Bernie Madoff. I thought you said for burning him.
No, Bernie Madoff. Depends.
No, that was actually the action.
I was going to say, I don't know.
That wasn't advice. That was actually the action.
Yeah, I was going to say. You push the click on your computer to authorize that. I don't know. It's not good.
The advice, you don't have to.
Good contemporary, yeah. Good contemporary application.
He's going to fry.
So the next one is the end of the fourth line down here. Hachagiga ha'amura batora hi sheyakriv shlamim biyom tov arishon shel chag bivo leheraot. The second korban, we have to bring a korban shlamim. So first we have to bring a korban ola, then we have to bring a korban shlamim. These are also from the Mishnayot in Chagiga. If anybody did the Mishnayot in the beginning of Chagiga, that's I think where this is from. The hadavar yadua she'ein shlamim ba'im elamina behema. The shlamim has to be from an animal, not from a bird. Ushtei mitzvot elu she'ein reiva chagiga ein nashim chayava ben. Women are not obligated in these. I didn't look further into that. I presume it's connected to a mitzvah aseh she'ezman grama or something along those lines. But now v'hasimcha ha'amura baregalim. Now the simcha. What is the simcha that's required on the shalosh regalim? He sheyakriv shlamim yeter al shami chagiga, to bring an extra shlamim, to bring additional korban shlamim. Ve'elohin anikrem shalmei simchat chagiga, and this is what we call the shalmei simchat chagiga. Shenemar v'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. V'nashim chayava b'mitzvazu. So the third thing we have here is to bring extra korban shlamim to eat the meat. The bring extra korbanot shlamim so that we could eat the meat, and that's when there's a pasuk v'zavachta shlamim, bring a korban shlamim v'achalta and eat it v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. From this pasuk, we see that there's the simcha involved in simcha yantif is about specifically bringing a korban shlamim and eating the meat of it. Yeah, question.
Well, so I think I missed one of the mitzvahs. There's three mitzvahs.
Oh, there's three. There's olat. There's the bringing olat re'iyah,
right.
Shalmei chagiga, and shalmei simcha. The second two are korban shlamim.
Two different shlamim.
Yeah. At least two shlamim. Because I think the third category sounds like there you should have more meat. So it could be that you have to bring. You would want to bring more. I don't know. I don't know if about the meat process and how long it lasted. We're gonna because you're gonna eat meat every day from the from that extra shlamim stuff like that. But yeah, there's three korbanot to bring on Yontif in the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah.
But if the second one is Shalmei Chagiga, is the shlamim, they eat that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not.
I guess probably
the third category.
Yeah.
Percent.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't look so much further into this, but I always thought that the point is that you want to have a lot of meat on Yontif, so you're gonna have to bring extra korbanot to have that meat to eat.
Okay.
So this is the three that the Rambam says, basically quoting from the Gemara and Chagiga. So now, already to try to think of going forward here about eating dairy, if this was all we know, then there's no obligation of eating meat on Yontif, because the whole obligation is only about eating the korban shlamim that you brought as a korban, and bizman hazeh, when there's unfortunately no Beit HaMikdash, there should be no obligation to eat meat.
Okay.
So now, we'll take a look at the Gemara in Psachim, in source 2. The Gemara in Psachim says, Tanu Rabbanan, Chayev Adam lismoach banu uvnei vanav baregel shenemar v'samachta b'chagecha b'meh misamcham b'yayin. So v'samachta b'chagecha, and it's not only you, it's you and your whole household. How should you do it? With wine. The Gemara says, with wine. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Anashim b'ro'ilehem v'nashim b'ro'ilehem." He says, "No, everybody has to have simcha with what they like and what fits for them." Anashim b'ro'ilehem b'yayin. Men, that's going to come through wine. We're going to see how the Rambam understands this, and then how all the Achronim understand the Rambam, which is a big machlokin, and that's going to play out in our understanding of this of the minhag of eating dairy on Shavuos. So the Gemara says, for men, that's drinking wine, and for women, that's getting nicer clothing. Okay, the Gemara even says, in Bavel, they used to have the nicer clothing was more colorful types, and in Israel, it was from certain kinds of materials, but for men, the Simchas Yontif is with wine, and for women, it's with clothing. And the next line, the third line down, we have a very important source, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Omer, Bizman she Beit HaMikdash kayam ein simcha ela bebasar. When the Beis HaMikdash was around, right, then we would have simcha with meat. Like we just saw, you ate the meat of the korban. But shenemar v'zavachta shlamim v'achata sham v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha v'achshav she'ein Beit HaMikdash kayam ein simcha ela biyayin. Now when there's no Beit HaMikdash, the only element of simcha, the simcha that we have is with drinking wine. Shneamar v'yayin yisamach levavenosh. That wine makes people happy, gladdens the heart. So when the Beit HaMikdash was around, there was meat. Without the Beit HaMikdash, there is wine.
But it's not the meat per se. It's the fact that it's the korban, because you're eating the korban.
Okay.
It's really, that's the...
Yeah. So, there's Sefer Imre Baruch, he's one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU. He has a very, very good svar on the Parshat HaShavua. This is his on Minhagim. So he says that exact point from... He quotes it from Binyan Shlomo. He says that point, that you have to assume that there's something special about eating the korban as opposed to just eating meat. And he says that it's the eating a korban satiates your guf and your neshama, and eating regular meat only satiates your body. And it's very interesting, he says that wine also has this element of satiating your neshama, because we say, nichnas yayin yatsa sod, so like the wine is, he doesn't elaborate on that, but somehow the wine is goes deeper in, or draws out more. But yeah, you'd have to, you possibly would have to say something like that, yeah. Okay, so based on this Gemara, it seems to be very clear that Bizman Hazeh nowadays, when we say Simcha, it has to do somehow with drinking wine, but it's not really connected to eating meat. And Tosfos in Source 4 says, Miu nirali de Simcha taregel nami de Rabbanon. Tosfos says that nowadays, when we say Simchat Yontif, we are only talking about a mitzvah de Rabbanon, because to fulfill the mitzvah de Raita, you would need a Beis HaMikdash and to bring the korbanot. And Bizman Hazeh, when we can't do that, Then where the Rabbanan are telling us that, you know, you can drink wine, you could get nice clothing, they're trying to fill in a little bit for Simcha, but that's only Rabbanan. That's not a mitzvah Doraita. Doraita, you'd have to eat Doraita, you need the Beis HaMikdash, and then you would eat the meat. So based on all this, we're going to see the Rambam now, because the Rambam has a surprising opinion that we're going to see how the Achronim understand the Rambam. I quoted a bunch of halacha from the Rambam, because they're all very important to see, and we've probably quoted at least some of these in the past. So in Source 5, if we take a look at the Rambam. And remember going into the Rambam that the Gemara seems to have said that there's no mitzvah to eat. That there's no mitzvah to eat meat, and there's a mitzvah to drink wine. So now, if we take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, in Halacha, in Perek Vav, Hilchas Yantiv, Perek Vav, Halacha Yedzayin, Shivat Yimei HaPesach, Ushmonat Yimei HaChag, Imshar Yamim Tovim, Kulam Asurim Behesped V'tanit. So, basically for Yantiv, you're not allowed to have a eulogy, you're not allowed to fast on Yantiv. V'chayav Adam Lio Behem Sameach V'tov Lev. And you have to be happy on Yantiv. Hu uvana v'ishto v'neveto v'chol hanilvim alav, you and your wife and your children and everybody in your house and everybody that's dependent on you, you have to be happy. Shenemar v'samachta b'chagecha, you should have simcha on Yantiv. And then he says af al pi shasimcha ha'amura kan hi korban shlamim k'mosha anu mivarim b'hilchol chagika, even though the simcha is really about bringing the korban and eating the meat from the korban, like we saw in Source 3 from Chagiga, Rambam Chagiga Aleph, the Rambam says yesh bichlal ota simcha lisma hu uvana uvneveto kol echad ve'echad kara'oi lo. There is an extra element of simcha in addition to the korban, according to whatever level or whatever is fit for each person. Okay, The Rambam seems to be adding on.
But he doesn't say where it's coming from.
He'll what his source is?
No. In other words, he's saying this extra symptom.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So in the next halacha, he'll say. I mean, his source is v'samachta b'chagecha. We're gonna see. We'll see in the next in Source 6 the explanation of where the Rambam is exactly coming from in this. Actually, 6-7. I think all the Achronim trying to understand the Rambam. They're all trying to also figure out where does the Rambam get this from exactly. Mm-hmm. So the Rambam says, "Everybody karo'ilo when what's fit for you." And then in halacha yodchet ketzad. So how is this? Kitanim notilem klayo vegozim umigdanot. So for children, you should give them candy and nuts and sweets. And for women, get them clothing and jewelry and things like that. For men, eat meat, which is not really what the Gemara said. Eat meat and drink wine. Meat and wine, v'shotin yayin, she'ein simcha ela b'basar, v'ein simcha ela b'yayin. Rambam says, eat meat and drink wine. And then the Rambam tells us, so for our purposes, that's really what we need to know, but the next 2.5 halachot of the Rambam here, I think, are very important for us to see for now. So let's see what the Rambam continues. Uchshehu olcha v'shota, and when you're eating meat and drinking wine, chayav le'ha'achil lager le'atom v'la'amana im shar anim ha'umlalim, you need to share with the converts and the widows and the orphans and everybody, the needy people. You need to share with people who need help. Aval misha noel delato chatsero, and if somebody locks their courtyard, so nobody could come in to ask you for food. If somebody locks their courtyard, v'ocha v'shota huvan av ishto, ve'eno machil u'mashkel aniim u'lamari nefesh, and if you just eat with your family and you don't share with anybody else, you don't share with the widows and the orphans and the poor, ein zo simchat mitzvah. You're not doing simchat. You're not being mekayim simchas yantiv. All you're doing is el simchat kreso, your simcha of your own stomach. That's what you're only getting the simcha of your own stomach if you're not sharing with others. It's not simchas yantiv. And also this is quoted a lot. So if you'll probably, the way that these things happen is that in the next week, I mean, 5 other shiur, people will all quote this Rambam. It's quoted a lot that part of simcha is eating meat and drinking wine and sharing that with others. Val elu nemar, and if somebody who doesn't do it, zivcheim kalechem onim, their korbanot, like mourner's bread, kol ochlav yitma'u, everything that will be impurified, kilach mamlin afsham, they're only eating for themselves, they're not sharing with others, v'simcha kazo kalonhi, and this is a disgrace, shenemar, v'zariti, peres al pneichem. So he says it's like putting filth on everything if somebody doesn't share with others. So, but the Rambam, our takeaway again is the Rambam says, eat meat, which the Gemara doesn't seem to say, eat meat and drink wine. And continuing in the Rambam, in Halacha Yotet, afa pisha achila v'shtia b'moadot b'chlal mitzvah asay. Even though it's a mitzvah asay to eat and drink, lo ye ochla v'shote kol hayom kulo. Right? Don't sit and drink all day long from morning till night. Elakachi hadat. This is what the Rambam recommends you do. Baboker mashkimin kolam levate kinesiyot ulevate midrashot umitpalim v'korim b'torah b'inyan ayom v'chozrin levate v'ochlin. You should get up. It sounds like early. Maybe I'm just assuming that, but you get up, go to shul, go diving, go hear Torah, come home, eat. I think this is eat a little bit. That's my understanding also. V'ochlin levate midrashot korim v'shonen ad chatzi ayom. So basically, go to shul, go daven, go home, I guess have a snack, have a kiddush, something like that. Then go to the base medrash and learn. Go sit and learn. Up until chatzot, until midday. And after that, v'achar chatzi ayom, mitpalin tefilat mincha, then you should daven mincha. And then, v'chozrin levatein lechov lishot shar hayom ad alayla. Then you can go home and have simchas yantiv and eat and drink until nighttime. This is what chatzi lachem v'chatzi lashem. This is his...
It's a long
study
saying started right after
Chatzot. Presumably from sunrise until Chatzot is because you were involved in shul, you were davening, right, and you were learning. Other than that's what I presume is a small meal just to keep you going. Uh-huh. You know. Well, it's also a little bit. You have daven mincha, so mincha's 30 minutes after Chatzot. Right. So, but yeah, it's all chatzi lachem and chatzi lashem. Yeah.
Like a Suda, like a Purim. I mean, they're not totally
permitted. Yeah, yeah.
This is for Yantiv, not just for... This is for this, all Yantiv.
For Yantiv. For Yantiv, yeah.
It's when Sukkot's based up also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Chatzi Lachem, yeah. I mean, there's what to say on that topic also, but we're not talking about that now, but yeah. Okay, and then in Halacha Chaf, on the top of page 2, we have kisha adam ocha veshote vesamech beregel lo yimashich b'yayin uvischok uvekolit rosh. Right? Don't get drawn out. Don't drink too much wine and don't be too lightheaded and don't get carried away. V'yomar shekol mi sheyosiv azeh yarbe b'mitzvah simcha. Don't just say I'm drinking. I'm going to drink as much wine as I can because it's all extra simcha. Don't do that. Shehashichru v'haschok harbe v'kolit rosh ena simcha. He says, too much drinking and too much lightheadedness is not simcha ela holulut v'sichlut. It's just frivolity and foolishness. Mm-hmm. We kind of talked about this a lot we talked about this for Purim, mm-hmm. when we talked about Purim, at the end of the day, we said echad amarba ve'echad amamidu v'vad shechavin libo l'shamayim, but we talked about how not letting the drinking of Purim get in the way of anything else. So he says, "V'lo nitzavinu al haholalut v'hasichlut el al simcha sheish ba avodat yotzer hakol." Right? We are not commanded. We're not commanded just to go out and drink. It's all supposed to be in the context of v'samachta lifnei Hashem. Shenemar, and he quotes the pasuk, "Tachad asher lo avadata Hashem el kecha v'simcha v'tuv leivav ha'alamadata she'avoda v'simcha." You're supposed to have a voda b'simcha. It's not just about sitting home and drinking wine for hours and hours. It's about using that as a means to an end. V'i'ef sher lavod et Hashem lo mitoch schok v'lo mitoch kalut rosh v'lo mitoch shichru. Right? You can't be an Eved Hashem. You can't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu if you're drunk. So even though we say there mitzvah simcha with wine, so the Rambam, to summarize the Rambam, says simcha with meat and wine. You need to share it with others. If you lock your courtyard and you don't let anybody in and you're just being selfish, that's not simchas yantif, and don't get carried away. Don't overdo it. Yeah, that's what the Rambam says. So now we have to understand the Rambam, because the Rambam seems to have come a little bit out of left field. The Gemara said that we should have wine. We talked about, the Rambam even himself mentions that simcha was from the Korban in the Beit HaMikdash. So if we take a look at source 6 from Rabbi Flug, he has an English here that I came across. He quotes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, explains there's two aspects to the mitzvah of Simchas Yantif. The first is an objective form, that one can fulfill by that one fulfills by eating the shlamim. There's two kinds of simchas yontif. One is objective. You fulfill simchas yontif by eating the korban. And the second aspect is subjective, that you fulfill by partaking of the things that bring happiness to you. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you had to do both. You had to eat the meat and do whatever simcha, subjective simcha, made you happy. And nowadays, when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we have the subjective element of simcha. So this is how the Rambam understands when the Torah says, v'samachta, that there's two elements of simcha. There's an objective simcha, that's eating the korban, and subjective simcha, whatever brings you happy. Whatever makes you happy.
But as you say, because there's no Beit HaMikdash, we eliminate the first one?
Yes, because there's no Beit HaMikdash, we don't have an objective one, we have a subjective one.
So where did the Rambam come from with the meat?
With the meat, okay. So where the Rambam likely came from with the meat, and we'll see this also a little bit more in the Shagas Aryeh and the next source, is that it's possible, and I said there's machloket achron, and we're going to see two ways to understand the Rambam that are opposed to each other. It's possible that the Rambam was telling you some type of baseline default. That would be a good way to say it. A default. The default rule is that for most people, wine and meat is what makes them happy. The Rambam was not saying you must eat meat and drink wine, but if that's what makes you happy, do it. And if there's other things that make you happy, specifically, probably just about the Suda, because the Suda is where there's this mitzvah of simcha that comes up. If there's other things, then eat those other things. If there's the Achronim talk about this, if chicken is what makes you happy, and you like chicken much better than meat, so then the Rambam would presumably tell you, according to this line of thought, eat chicken because that's what makes you happy. Fish is what makes you happy. Eat fish. And now, we're going to already see the carryover giving away to what we'll come to in a few minutes.
Yes.
If eating dairy makes you very happy, then, according to this line of thought, then eat dairy because that is at least what you accomplish your subjective simcha by. If there was a Beis HaMikdash, then you'd have to have your korban. So the dairy thing would be, we'll talk about how you can accomplish both those as we go on. But because there's no Beis HaMikdash, so there's no korban, there's no shalmei simcha, so there's no obligation to eat that, then you could eat what makes you happy.
Everything's subjective.
Everything is subjective, yes.
How did the dairy thing come into being?
We'll talk about that.
That's coming.
Yeah, we're going to talk. First, we're talking about Simchas Yontif. In, I don't know, 5 or 7 minutes, we'll come to the dairy, and then we'll talk about how we can mix both of these together. Okay, so the Shagas Aryeh in Source 7, one of the big achronim from the 1700s.
Yeah.
Says, Hine nira li mishum de mitzvah simcha shenitztavinu baregel eina simcha pratiyot. He says, when the Torah tells us that we should have simcha and yontif, it's not a specific simcha, ela simcha klalit. It's a general, I would call it an end. There's an end to have simcha, and how you get there is the means, and the Torah is not necessarily, there's not necessarily a specific requirement of what means you should do to get yourself to the simcha. Anything that's going to make you happy is something that you could use. Below dami lishar mitzvot. So he says, very interesting. It's not like other mitzvot. Sheshavin b'chol adam ha'asher lo yarbe v'hadal lo yamit. It's not a lot of mitzvot, right? We say everybody has to do the same thing. Simcha ziyantiv is not like that. Elas aval simcha zo kol adam v'adam mechuyav lismoch kefi yacholto. Everybody according to their abilities, what they like. I think he means also here specifically what your budget is, right? For most mitzvah, right, everybody has to do the same thing. You have to light the same Hanukkah candles, you have to take the same kind of lulav. Maybe there's hiddur mitzvah, there's other things you can throw in there. But for this mitzvah, really, if you really like fancy steak and that's something that you enjoy, then that's what you're going to have for your mitzvah. And if you like to eat fish or chicken, whatever you like to eat, that's what you should have. And what men like and what women like, that's the whole point of the Gemara, according to him, that's the whole point of the Gemara, understanding what each person, emphasizing what each person is, what's fit for each person, because simcha is about what each person is going to, it's going to cause them to get simcha. And the Ketanim, and then four lines down, he says, and this is what the Gemara says in Arvei Psachim, And then he says that we don't have to see the rest inside. And he says, and that's why even if somebody's tame, let's say there was a Beis Hamikdash, but somebody is tame, they're not precluded from the mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv because they can't eat from the Shalmei Simcha because there's a second, there's whatever is going to make you happy is also part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv. So this is what we said a few minutes ago. It could be that when the Rambam says that you should eat meat and drink wine, he's not saying you're required to eat meat and drink wine. He's saying that usually meat and wine is what leads somebody to get simcha. And if there's other things that lead you to simcha, like dairy or anything else, then you should go ahead and eat that. So this is one way to understand the Rambam. The Yamshel Shlomo has a different way to understand it. He was one of, I guess, the earlier Achronim in the 1600s, I believe. And he tells us in Source 8, he tells us something very interesting in how he understands the Gemara and how he understands this whole concept of Simcha. And he basically says that the reason the Rambam says we have to eat meat and drink wine is because we have to eat meat and drink wine. We are required to. He says, so now, how do we fit that in with all the sources here? He says, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, and this actually comes back to Eric's point before about the meat, the korban meat versus regular meat. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, and you were standing in the Beis HaMikdash, and you were shalayim, you're eating your shlamim, he says, you didn't even have to drink wine, because you were at such a high level of simcha from just eating your korban, that you accomplished your Simchas Yantif. But he says, nowadays, when you're not eating the meat from the korban and you're just eating regular other meat, it's not enough to get you to that simcha, so you have to supplement it with wine. It's like meat, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the korban itself was enough simcha. Without the Beis HaMikdash, we need to have the equation meat plus wine equals simcha. The wine is going to plug in a little bit of what we're losing from not eating the korban. So based on what he says, it seems to be that there's a real, he understands the Rambam, and the Rambam says drink meat and eat wine. The Rambam literally means eat meat and drink wine, and that the wine is like plugging in what you're missing from not being able to bring the korban. It's a very,
because it gives you pleasure.
Because it's going to give you the pleasure. He actually also says that, he also says that part of the wine is that you might, he says, Yishkach, you forget your misery a little bit over the fact that you can't bring a korban, something along those lines. And it's going to cause you also, he says, all this is going to cause you to lismach, v'liftoch ba'Hashem, that they're going to have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt.
More spiritual.
So this is his understanding. So now the Rambam says again, the Rambam says, drink meat, eat meat, drink wine. The Shagas Aryeh says, the Rambam doesn't actually mean that, he just really means, do whatever makes you happy. The Yamshel Shlomo says, no, the Rambam really, really does mean, eat meat and drink wine. And now, how do we paskin? Because how we paskin is going to be very different than what we're talking about here. So the Beis Yosef says in Source 9, he has a one-liner, V'yeshlit moa al ha-Rambam lama hitzrich shiyochlu basar v'yishtu yayin. Why does the Rambam say you should eat meat? D'ha b'brayta katani d'bizman hazeh ein simcha ela b'yayin. Says the Gemara said only wine. Why does the Rambam say meat? The Beis Yosef is very clear in his understanding that he does not agree with the Rambam. And according to the Beis Yosef, lahalacha, we have Simchas Yantif only by drinking wine. He does not agree with the Rambam.
He's going strictly by
strict literal reading of the Gemara, very literal. We drink wine.
Right.
And I quote in the Pinin Halacha, he tells us that according to the Shulchan Aruch, we only drink wine for Simchas Yantiv according to the literal reading of the Gemara. So now, if somebody wants to eat dairy on Shavuos based on everything that we just said, is there a problem with Simchas Yantiv? As long as you have a nice glass of wine with your meal, no problems for Simchas Yantiv. But it's going to get more complicated. And when I was talking about this with my wife, she pointed out that part of the complication here is that we're not going to be able to satisfy all the opinions here. So just going forward, we're going to see now how everything that's going to come up, is there's going to be different opinions here. If you want to strictly hold by the Shulchan Aruch, have as much dairy as you want, because he does not say there's any requirements to eat meat. The problem with that is that the Panini, and the Panini Halacha quotes, is that there are other poskim say that we really do, we either we should eat meat nonetheless, or we are still required to eat meat. So he quotes the Mishnah Brura, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that even though maybe there's no technical absolute obligation to eat meat, they all recommend in the strongest terms that we eat meat as somehow part as part of our Simchas Yontif. So even though the Shulchan Aruch says we don't have to, the Mishnah Brura quotes that we should. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav quotes that we should. The Bach quotes that we should. So the Magen Avraham, and I don't think he quoted, the Magen Avraham says that it's a, in one place he says there's a mitzvah to eat meat, in another place he says there's not a mitzvah. So the Achronim, they explain that there's some type of difference between obligation, which is absolute, and a mitzvah, which is something that you should do. So the Magen Avraham says that we still should eat meat. So now, the problem is, the problem is that if we want to follow Shulchan Aruch, then no problems, just drink wine, and you get your Simchas Yontif. But if we want to follow the recommendations of the Magen Avraham, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and the Mishnah Brura, all based on the Bach, that we should eat meat on Yontif, the question is going to be now, how do we square up the obligation or the strong recommendation to eat meat with this minhag to eat dairy? But before we get into that, I just saw something very interesting in the Panini Halacha that I quoted in Source 11. And in Source 11, when he's talking about the simcha of getting clothing for the wives getting clothing to enhance their simchas yontif, he pointed out that he says there's people that spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shekel to buy the most beautiful esrog in the world, and then they're, I guess for lack of a better word, they're cheap when it comes to getting their wives something or encouraging their wives to get something. He says you missed the bow. There's a mitzvah the right of simchas yontif, even if you want to say that this is a derabanan, all these are derabanans, the wine, the clothes, it's still a mitzvah derabanan. And he said, and for the little bit of extra hiddur that you're going to get by spending 10 times the amount of money on your esrog, you're losing out by not spending the money on, by not encouraging, if you want to spend the money on both and you can, so fine, but if you're going to only spend your money on your esrog and not spend the money on clothing for your wife, for Yantiv, then you missed the boat.
He's giving us men a little star.
It's so yeah, so I thought that was interesting. Wow. So now we're going to talk about eating dairy, and then we're going to try to square these minhagim up. So not the minhagim, we're going to try to square up the obligation of eating meat with the eating dairy. So now Avram asked before, why do we eat dairy on Shavuos? So there's numerous reasons. We'll see three of them right now. The Rama tells us in Source 12 in Hilchos Pesach Siman Tav Tzadi Dalid. V'nohagin b'chol makom le'echol ma'achalei chalav b'yom rishon shel Shavuot. There is a minhag to eat dairy on the first day of Shavuos. V'nirali hata'am. So he says, and the reason appears to me, shehu kemo hashnei tavshilin shelochin b'lel Pesach. Zecher le'Pesach v'zecher le'chagiga. On Pesach, we have two cooked foods on our table. One of them is to remind us of the Korban Pesach, or I guess roasted, and one of them is to remind us of the Korban Chagiga. That's why we take some type of chicken wing or chicken bone, and we also take an egg. I think we talked about this before, Shavuos. We have two things on our table just to remind us of the two cooked things that we used to have when we had a Beis HaMikdash. So he says, so too for Shavuos, we want to remind us of what we used to have when we had the Beis HaMikdash, and what, God willing, we will have b'mehera v'yameinu. So he says, Kein ochlim machal chalav. So, Kein ochlim machal chalav v'yachar kach machal basar. On Shavuos, we eat a meal that's dairy, and then a meal that's meat. V'tzrichin lahavi imahem bet lechem al ha-shulchan shu b'makom ha-mizbeach. The shulchan, your table is compared to mizbeach. And with each meal, you're going to have separate bread, because you're not allowed to mix up the bread that you had with your meat with the bread that you have with your dairy. So when we have two meals, a dairy meal with a its own bread, and then a meat meal with its own bread, then yesh bazeh zikaron l'shtei halechem shayu makrivim b'yom habikurim. When there was a Beis Hamikdash, we used to bring a korban called the shtei halechem on Shavuos. We brought the korban shtei halechem, and what that korban was the new wheat from the previous year. There was a korban on the second day of, on the first day, it was first or second day of Pesach, and then we could, that's when you're allowed to eat all the chadash, right? That's what chadash and yashan is that you have to wait until the korban was brought, and then you could eat it. But in the Beis Hamikdash, they waited until Shavuos to use that for all the korbanot, for all the korban mincha, all the korbanot that required wheat, they would wait until the shtei halechem was on Shavuos, and the shtei halechem was to loaves of bread, and then they used to use all the new wheat that grew from the previous year, they used to use that in the korbanot. So he says, so the Ramah says, why do we eat dairy? Because when you eat dairy, you must have one separate loaf of bread. Then you eat meat, you must have a second loaf of bread. And when we have these two loaves of bread, it reminds us of the korban shtei halechem, the korban that was brought on Shavuos. This is what the Ramah says. That's probably a lesser, did people hear that reason before? It seems to be lesser known than
that, but based on that, then you should be doing the same thing on Sukkot, then.
We should or should not be.
Should.
Because...
Oh, not the timing, but the timing. No, because the whole thing with the Yontov was...
Right. The Shtei Lechem is only on Shavuos. But he says it's like the same thing. He's like, on Pesach, we have two things on the table.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. You have the symbols on Pesach, and you have these symbols on Shavuos.
Yeah.
What are your symbols on...
Yeah, Sukkah, I don't know. Sukkah, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm
sorry, I have to leave.
Okay. I'll try to send you a recording if you want to catch the end of it. Now we're getting to the punchline here. Avram could fill you in also. Okay. Okay, so this is probably the lesser known reason, but this is what the Ramah says. This is the reason that the Ramah tells us that we need to do it. I was actually wondering about this, and I only did a little bit of research. Is that if you just were using Lecha Mishnah anyway, you already have your two loaves of bread on the table, so why do we need to do this whole... So it's possible, having two loaves of bread, we paskin that you need it on Yontif too, but it's possible that there's, I think, a lot of machlokas rishonim, if you need to have two lechem mishnah and yontif also, so we would have to start to get into the Ramah assuming that for whatever reason that you didn't.
So the thing is that if you have your two loaves of bread that were used for dairy, the thing is you have then you want to go and you want to have meat. So the thing is you have to remove those two whatever the remaining loaves of bread, and put in those bread
that.
So what do you do with the other one? You just
put it aside. You can eat it later.
Oh,
it's about get. As far as I know, I think if you have bread on the table with all your dairy food, then somebody touches the cheese, and then you pick up the bread to pass it, you're just going to end up getting dairy onto your bread, and the same thing with the meat. If you have you touch the meat, so then you have some like juice fat on your hands, whatever, and then you touch the bread. It's about we don't want to have the bread that was basically that you ate with the dairy. Yeah. We don't want to use that same bread to eat with meat.
I also heard that if you have salt, you know, the salt and pepper shakers,
mm-hmm.
that I heard this too, that if you have them on the table, you're having it first for the milk meal. The thing is that you should change your salt and pepper shakers for making for flation, because the thing is when you're using it, you take it and you sprinkle it on the food, so your fingers are still from the bread and from the cheese, whatever.
If you stick your fingers and take it into the salt, then I could understand that. I think if you have a salt shaker with a cover on it, I don't think you would necessarily need to switch it.
Is that a problem with that?
We'll talk specific. You can ask me specific. We'll talk about it after, okay? I want to understand it.
Yeah,
I think with the salt shaker.
Oh,
okay. Okay. Yeah. Could be. Okay, so this is what the Ramah says. The Mishnah Berurah quotes what we probably, most people are familiar with in Source 13. He says, "Va'ani shamati ba'od b'shem gadol echad shamar tam nachon lazeh ki ba'eish amdul harsina v'kiblu ha-Torah." When they stood on Har Sinai and got the Torah, you can skip the brackets. V'yardu min ahar lebeitam lo matzu ma le'echol tekev ki ma'chal echalav ki levasar tzarech hachana. They came down, we got the Torah, all of a sudden there was nothing to eat because you have to, it takes time to get meat. Because he says, you need hachana rabbi, you have to prepare. First you have to lishchot, bisakin baduk, you need to make sharpen your knife and check your knife. And v'linkor chute hachele v'hadam, you have to take out the forbidden fat and take out the blood and wash it and salt it and cook it in new pots and pans. Because the old pots and pans were treif. So that's why we eat dairy because of the fact that that's what happened when right after the Torah was given that Bnei Yisrael ate dairy. This is probably the well-known reason for it. And then there's a third reason that the Mishnah records in Source 13, and this isn't also one of the older of the I guess maybe original reasons. Gam noigin biksat mekomot lechol dvash v'chalav mipnei haTorah shenim shalal dvash v'chalav kmo shekaduv in pasuk in Shir Hashim dvash v'chalav tachat lishonech. Torah is compared to honey and compared to chalav, compared to milk, dairy. So because of the fact that Shavuos is man matan Torateinu and the Torah is compared to dvash v'chalav, then we eat dairy on Shavuos. Okay, so now the question is, now we're going to talk about it. So now we understand why we eat the dairy. So now, the last 5 or 10 minutes here, how can we square this minhag of eating dairy with the fact that the Rambam maybe literally says that you need to eat meat, maybe not, but the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Brura, all say that there's some type of requirement to eat meat on Yontif. So now, for Simchas Yontif, so now how do we square this? So the first way to understand it, and we already pointed at least a few of these out, is if you're really just passing like Shulchan Aruch, then you don't have a problem. Shulchan Aruch says just drink wine. So if you want to passing like that, then fine, then we don't have to worry about the other Shito. If we want to start to also, if we take a look in Source 14, this was based on the Rambam, the Shagas Aryeh, that there's subjective Simcha. He quotes the Dark Age Shuvah on the third line down, that you could eat dairy if that's what brings you joy. If the dairy leads you to simcha, then that's another rationale for eating it. But he quotes that not everybody agrees to that. So again, we have not everybody agrees to it, but if dairy is what really makes you happy, then fine. The third option we have here, quoted from Rabbi Brovsky, is that there are some people that what they do is they eat dairy at nighttime and they eat meat during the daytime. And he quotes that the stipler of Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, is the current stipler, his father, that's what he used to do, and this is the minhag, eat dairy at nighttime and eat meat during the daytime. What's the problem? Two problems, at least. One possible problem is that maybe this doesn't really fit for the Ramah, because the Ramah said we wanted to have those meals kind of like back-to-back, so that you see the two separate pieces of two loaves of bread to remind you the Shtei Lechem. If you have one meal on the nighttime that's dairy, and one meal in the daytime that's meat, it's harder to see that. Actually, that was something that I thought of, and I was glad that I found it. I came across this topic in the Sefer Imri Baruch last night after I finished preparing this, so I went through it. So I found that, I thought of that, and I was glad that I found it. He quotes it here from somebody else. That it could be that if you eat dairy at night and meat during the daytime, you don't necessarily fulfill the Ramah of having the two loaves of bread connected. And the second issue is that part of the reason that you could eat dairy at nighttime is because maybe Simchas Yontif does not really apply as much at nighttime as it does in the daytime.
The
more important meal is the daytime meal. So it's possible that you could eat dairy at nighttime, but that still presents problems because not everybody agrees to that. That's a big, big machloket achronim. I think the Shagas Aryeh has a piece on that. It's a big machlokes, and it's entirely possible that there is a regular mitzvah simcha at nighttime too. This kind of goes hand in hand with maybe what exactly is the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif? Is it a once a day kind of thing, or is it every meal kind of thing? That's also machlokas. Basically, everything here is some type of machlokas. So there's going to be some assumption you can make that's going to make this work, and some assumption that you can make that's going to make it not work. So if you assume that Simchas Yontif is one time a day, then it's arguable that you could eat dairy at night and meat during the day, and then you're fine. But it's also possible that Simchas Yontif is a constant obligation, or it's an obligation at every single meal, or, and this is the third thing that I came across also, that it's possible that usually what we say is that the day follows the night, right? That's what, you have a, Shabbos is the night time, and the day afterwards goes according to the night before. That's what, right, the calendar changes at night time in the Hebrew calendar, right? But for a Korban, it's not that way. For a Korban, the night follows the day, right? When you have a Korban that you can eat for one day and one night, it's that day and the night following. The night goes according to the day before. So it's possible that really when you, on Shavuot's night, that night is kind of, it's its own day. It doesn't go with the day following, it goes with the day before. So you should eat you need to have Simchas Yontif at nighttime. Then the next day, it's an entirely new day if you're going by the Korban schedule, not by the Hebrew calendar schedule, and then you would have to eat meat again the next day. So there's a lot of different options here that make all of our solutions, we'll see a summary also at the end, but they make a lot of the solutions difficult, according to at least some of the Achronim. Yeah.
When was the Korban actually brought?
Korban Shalom is brought in the day.
So the night preceding, then there's no, I mean, at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there's no mitzvah.
I believe it's a Shaga, sorry, I'm not sure. If you assume that the only simcha is a great point that you're making. If you assume that the only simcha is the Shalmei simcha, then you would eat it during the day. And I think, I saw somebody quoting something like that from Rav Moshe, but then when I looked inside, wasn't so clear to me that that's what Rav Moshe was saying. But yeah, if you assume that Shalmei Simcha is what this is all based on, then just eat it during the daytime because you weren't eating at nighttime. But if you assume there's an extra element of Simcha that's the subjective, like we saw from the Shagas Aryeh and Rav Chaim, etc., then that would be applicable at nighttime too. But then you have room to say that it's subjective. So if you like the day, it's part of a whole shiur in and of itself about Simchas Yontif at nighttime and where that is and what that comes from. But yeah.
You can only bring a korban during the day.
Yeah, that's why. So, right. Exactly.
A lot
exactly.
Of this is just how subjective you want to be to a certain point as far as subjective. Because we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, so. What's going to make you...
Some of it, yeah. I mean, it really... If you wanted to... The Yom Shel Shlomo's understanding of the Rambam, that you must eat meat or something along those lines, or even the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, strongly, strongly recommends eating meat on Yontif. Strongly recommends it.
Now, for those people that have the 2 days instead of the one, the thing is, they have the same problem than for the second day, or what?
Theoretically, the Ramah says that this whole thing was only for the first day, so presumably on the second day you would eat meat. Yeah, I don't know that this whole eating dairy was. He only quotes it for the first day. I don't know I don't know how specific he, in source 12. No, again, lecho macha lechal v'yom rishon shel shavuot. The minhag was for the first day to eat the dairy, not the second day. I don't know how far to take that, but yeah. Okay, so let's finish up here. So we'll skip to source 16. Source 16 is going to tell us basically all of the options and all the problems with the options, because it's just interesting to see. It's from an article, Minhag Achilat Machal Echalav B'Shavuot. So he says, number one here, the first option is Achilat Machal Basar B'Chol Haruchot. Just eat meat the whole time. You eat meat every meal. So what do? You accomplish Simchas Yontif, but the Minhag, you didn't fulfill the minhag of eating dairy if you just eat meat the whole time. The second way is if you eat dairy the whole time, then presumably you didn't do mitzvah Simchas Yontif. The third option is if you eat achilat machal echalav balaylu vasar bayom, right? Eat dairy at night and meat during the day. So he says, "Amnam yesh omrim shabazeh yotzei dechovat simchas yantav midoraita." He says, even though maybe you fulfilled doraita, but even midorabanan, you probably had some type of simchas yantav at nighttime, and you possibly even had simchas yantav at nighttime doraita too. That doesn't necessarily help. Fourth, four achilat macha achal balayla levarich acharkach lecho machale basar. So he says, what are you going to do now? You're going to eat dairy. Then, I think it's interchangeable. I don't know if he put night, yeah. You're going to eat it at night. Then you're going to do Birkat HaMazon. Then you are going to eat meat right after that, which is kind of like what the Rama said, right? You want to try to do these close in time. Eat dairy, bench, do Birkat HaMazon, then eat meat. What's the problem? And he says, Afshish Poskim Lasokein, the Igros Moshe. This is what Moshe said to do to solve our problem. Eat. Bench and then eat again. Mikol Malkom Nir Sheish Lachshus the Rachash and Etricha. Some of the Achronim say that this is a problem because you really just benched in the middle of your meal. It would be a bracha. You made an unnecessary bracha. You have full intent when you started benching of immediately eating meat. Of going to wash, eating meat, right after that, you got a problem. Maybe a bracha shena tzricha. You just made a bracha, birkat hamazon, that you maybe shouldn't have done. I mean, he says that Rav Moshe Feinstein endorses this practice, so obviously, you have strong shoulders to rely upon, but other Acharonim say that you shouldn't do it. Next, achilat macha lechalav alai lekinua chapev adacha. Then, what's the other option? You could eat dairy, rinse your mouth out, wash your hands, right? Maybe wait a few minutes, then eat meat right after without benching. No benching. Just go. Don't bench, right? Because benching was maybe a possible bracha levatala bracha shenitzricha. Don't bench. What's the problem now? The problem now is that the Zohar says that you should not eat meat and milk as part of the same meal. I think the Zohar even says within the same hour. So in this case, if you washed, here's the scenario. You wash. You took out a piece of bread. This is what you're eating with your dairy. Ate your bread, ate your dairy, put everything aside, rinsed your mouth out, brushed your teeth, washed your hands, take out your next loaf of bread, sit down, and eat your meat. That's the same meal. The Zohar is very strong against doing that. So basically, up till now, every single option has at least some achronim that agree to do it, but other achronim that it's a problem for.
Yeah. You have to remove the tablecloth and the plate.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you'd have to.
You can't eat.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a given. Yeah, you're gonna take out your switch plates, switch tablecloths. Yeah. So everything here has some type of solution, but some type of problem also. Although it seems to me that we skipped it. If you want to read the paragraph above here in English, that Rav Avadya Yosef, you rinse your mouth out and do something. It's not such a bad solution, but there are potential problems. And the last one here, and he quotes the Darkei Tshuva at the bottom, and this is what Eric was said at the very beginning. The Darkei Tshuva, I think, was the second Sanzer Rebbe. So nachon lefana yoter haminak shekibalti mirabotai meyavotai leechol seuda tamacha lechol batzer tekev achar tefila b'shat hakidusha rabba below pot. So he says what you should do is you should eat dairy, not wash. You should say kiddush, have a kiddush at home, a dairy kiddush. And then you should wait an hour, something like that, because the Zohar says you should wait an hour after dairy before meat if you follow Zohar. And he says he says according to your yotzei lechulei alma, if you have your dairy kiddush. So the problem there's a problem, two problems. The problem is that at least the Rama said you wanted to have the bread with the other bread. Here you're not having bread. If you recall, there's three reasons, at least that we saw, why you eat dairy. This certainly satisfies dvash v'chalav tachat lishonich. You're eating the dairy to show that the Torah is compared to dairy, or for a remember that Bnei Yisrael ate dairy when after the Torah was given. But you're not getting your two loaves of bread for the shtei alechem. So it's hard to see how this fits for the Ramah. And then
it's impossible.
It's impossible.
There's no answer.
Yeah. I'll tell you one possible thing in a second. One possible thing. And one second problem, and now this takes us back a long, long time ago, is that we generally go to Kiddushes on Shabbos, and you have Kiddush, and you say Mizonot. Right? That's what this is based on. We generally do that. Not everybody, the Gra did not agree that was an acceptable practice. And the Gra said Kiddush Malkum Suda means you actually need to say Kiddush and wash right after. And Mizonah is not sufficient for after your Kiddush. So, he says here, L'chulei Alma, but, I'm sure the point that I just made, I think I saw that somewhere, so I didn't come up with it, but maybe actually in this article, in a footnote, but if you wanted to make, you went home and you said Kiddush and you had your cheesecake and whatever cookies and dairy and everything that you had, the Gra would not have endorsed such a practice because for him you really needed to wash.
So if you wash then, would that create any other issues? Maybe that's...
So if you wash, then depending, well, then you have the all the. So are you going to bench or you're not going to?
Yeah, but it's a long break, so it's not a breakfast.
Right. So that's what I think. Well, you don't need to eat. You don't need to eat three sudas on Yom Tov.
Right,
that's what I was going to say. I don't know why. I think the solution, and I'm not sure why I didn't see this, is kind of like on Erev Pesach, that's a Shabbos, and your Shalosh Shudos, and what some of the poskim say to do is that because right, you're not allowed to eat chametz after a certain time, is right. To eat like go home, wash, bench, and go for a walk around the block or something like that, because you leave your location and that's enough of an interruption between your things. So I don't know why, if you wanted to really satisfy this, according to everybody, I'm not sure why I didn't see this anywhere. You would wash. Mm-hmm. Have challah, have your dairy food, finish it, bench, then go for a walk. Or, yeah. I mean, I guess you could always wait the hour also. Yeah. At a certain point, and I don't know where it come, the cutoff is, you want to, right, like we said, you want to try to connect your dairy with your meat, so I don't know if you...
Maybe we have the lunch cows out on the table. We could see them while we're eating our...
The lunch what? What did you say?
If we have the cows out on the table.
So you see them. That's enough to remember. That's enough to remember. Yeah, I mean, I think I even saw somebody said the opposite. I think of what I was just saying. Or I think I saw somebody who said that you should eat meat, come home from shul, eat meat, and then in the summertime, it's a long day, so 6 hours later, then you can sit down and have a whole... dairy meal or however long you wait, and there's more than enough time in the day to eat your dairy then too, and then you kind of also accomplish both, but also with such a gap it's hard for me to see how the bread is going to connect.
With all of these ones, you know, 16, we've like not talked about the most important thing, which is yayin.
Well, you're making Kiddush.
You're making Kiddush. Yayin should go along with it, yeah. Unless, and I kind of skipped over some of these as well. Unless, if remember what we said, that at least some of this might very well be subjective. If you really don't like wine, then there's no mitzvah for you to drink wine. I think the Pinine Halacha says that if you really like drinking other alcoholic beverages better than wine, he thinks wine is probably better, but if you really like to have a beer or something, then have a beer, because that's going to contribute to help you get the Simchas Yantif. So now, just quick summary here. We talked about Simchas Yantif. The Torah says V'samachta b'chagach. It says Simcha in a few places. The Ikar Simcha is from bringing the Korban and eating the meat from the Korban. The question whether Bizman Hazeh there's a mitzvah of Simcha or not. The Rambam seems to be machlok. Tosfos says there's no Simchas Yontif because we can't bring the Korban. The Rambam says there is. It's with other things. Maybe the Rambam means it's subjective, whatever makes you happy. Maybe the Rambam literally means you actually need to drink wine and eat meat. The Shulchan Aruch says only wine, but the commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch add in that you need to eat meat as well, or it's preferable, better, suggested, recommended to eat meat. And if we wanted to eat meat, then we're going to have to somehow figure out how we eat dairy on Shavuos with eating meat. There's lots of options. One is to eat dairy at night and to eat meat during the daytime. That assumes that there's the mitzvah of Simcha is less applicable at nighttime. One option is to have a kiddush, but then you're not eating your bread with it. One option is to do them back to back. But then the question is whether you should bench or not. If you do bench, it might be a bracha levatala. If you don't bench, then you're violating the Zohar that says you shouldn't be eating them in the same meal. And that was basically where we come to that it's a minhag, so keep up your minhag. And the final point, I don't want to misquote because it was from a long time ago, but I'm pretty sure that Rav Sobolovsky one time said in Shir that he was walking in Yerushalayim and there were signs up, you know, they put up signs always for all these things, that you should eat meat and drink wine, like the Shulchan Aruch says to do for Simchas Yontif. And he said he wanted to call the guy, whatever, and say, you should know that the Rambam is the one who says that you should eat meat and drink wine. The Shulchan Aruch says only wine. So there's like a mistake, he found a mistake in the sign there. Okay, so Rishav, a chag sameach.
Thank you.